The opinions expressed on this webmasterradio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of webmasterradio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of webmasterradio.fm is prohibited.
Feeling better? Looking better? Making life better? It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome to the Life Tips Show, everybody. Happy to have you here today. I'm with Adam Reiter, the Chief Operating Officer of Newport Career-Based Matching Service, Job Pros. Happy to have you on, Adam.
Hey, Byron, thanks a lot. Is it possible for me to slather you with some praise before we start?
Only if it's extremely brief and but thanks. We'll take anything, actually. What am I saying? I'm a glutton.
Yeah, please. Your shows are fantastic. I listen to a lot of radio shows, and thank you for having me on, but the amount of meaty content that you're able to extract from your guests is superb, and I haven't seen anything to match it. So good work.
Thank you. We're going to dive right in with you as our next victim here on the Life Tips Show. And I have to tell you, the timing couldn't be better to talk with a pro like yourself. Thank you again for being on the show. Tell us a little bit about your illustrious career and why you've been successful in your own career, and then we'll dive into some interesting tips and advice and some experience you've had that can help people with their own careers. Tell us about your background.
Certainly. I think I got into the career field just out of, I don't know, a nurturing environment for my mother. She was a hustler. I'm a hustler. And so I always kind of knew where the jobs were. So I started my career in fashion and transitioned out of that and became a fashion headhunter. And it was wonderful. And then I wanted to start my own firm, and I did that. And then after a while, I kind of saw that the world of executive search matched against the world of job boards, the technology that was coming, that was going to create a stranglehold for executive search professionals. So I got out of that, and I started a bunch of online career matching sites and then became a career coach. And it's just fantastic. I love it.
You've been in position A to really understand the market, the hiring trends, the firing trends, the job career advancements. Unbelievable marketplace changes have happened. The advent of Monster.com. Could you give us just your snapshot of where we are today, right now, with the job market in general, career hunting, how things have changed, social media, you are who you're LinkedIn with. Give us a snapshot in your humble opinion. And that's a super broad-based question. So take a piece of it, and then I'll trickle on with some other questions.
Absolutely. It is an incredibly large question. Things changed. The world changed in 2009 for people in terms of finding new jobs. And a lot of people really bought into the messages. Go to Monster.com if you're looking for a job. Go to a headhunter. They'll help you find a job. And a lot of those messages are the worst practices for job seekers. I don't know of any class that any college offers like, when you get fired, when you get canned, this is what you do. And so there's a lot of people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s that are now faced with a really, for a lot of people, this is the first time that they've ever looked for a job. You know, they've gone from company to company because their bosses have taken them along, you know, with their careers, or they've gotten calls from headhunters or started their own businesses. And so for a lot of people, they're in what I call a job search jail. They're feeling a lot of isolation, and they don't have the tools or the knowledge that are yielding the kind of best results that they want, the kind of bites and energy that they want for their job search and ultimately offer. So I think we're in a strange place. I think that technology took us to a place where we really isolate ourselves, you know, sitting in rooms and applying for jobs online, versus kind of what's happening now, old school branding, you know, actually having to fight that isolation and get out and meet people and start networking and actually have people sit and marinate in your expertise. So there's two worlds really colliding right now, the technology world and what we've been used to with the messages, and the old school world, how we really used to network ourselves and coming back and finding kind of a happy medium. And social media goes a long way to bridging that gap.
I'm going to dive right into some of the social media elements of things in terms of two sides of the table that I want to sit on now. What is the employer looking for with new hires? Give us that angle, if you could.
Absolutely. The employers aren't hiring generalists. I think one of the job search myths right now is that people want to present themselves as somebody that can wear many hats. I can do anything. I set up a career fair in Los Angeles in September, and this is a true story. There's a rabbi that comes up to a booth, a Paramount Studios booth, and the rabbi says, it's a rabbinical student, excuse me, he says, "Ugh, I'm so glad to see you. I can do anything. Whatever you need, I can do. You need to hire me." And the recruiter says, "Oh, fantastic, because we're looking for a programmer that can develop iPhone applications. You can do that, right?" No, I can't do that. And that's kind of my anecdote, but that's kind of what people do. They want to present themselves as anything people. I can do it all. I can wear all the hats. But companies right now are looking for specialists. If there's an opening at a company, it's because a specialist has moved on. So when you're presenting yourself as the specialist for a job description, not Mr. Everything or Mrs. Everything.
Mm-hmm. And again, back to the employer, is the employer looking for, you know, the number of people you're linked in with? Are they looking at your Facebook page? Are they looking to value you in a new way that really didn't exist a few years ago?
Absolutely. I mean, so much has changed. On the more intrusive side, of course, they're looking. I mean, the first thing that I do, and the first thing that a lot of HR managers and executives do, and even headhunters do, is they Google your name. How simple is that? And they find your Facebook, and they find your LinkedIn account, if you're on LinkedIn, or your private account, or whatever, and they go and they check you out. Who do you know? Do I know? Instant reference. How wild is that? I mean, they get to see who you know, and possibly there's a connection between who you know and who they know, and they get to read your stuff. I mean, if you have a blog, or you're on Facebook, or you're on LinkedIn, and you provide some content there, or you're the head of a LinkedIn group, they actually get to interview you and audition you without even talking to you. They get to see what you're all about, and that's fascinating. And on the positive side,
There are both pros and cons to such a public examination of your life based upon your Facebook page and your LinkedIn page. Let's turn the table around for a second and let's talk about, what if I get fired? What if I get laid off? What should I be doing right now? And let's start right in with LinkedIn and Facebook and your blog. You know, what kind of communication should I be putting forth in the social media sphere as I begin my job hunt?
You need to start branding yourself. You need to start creating a voice. I mean, one of the positive sides of all this social media stuff is you are able to brand yourself. You don't need to have a book. You don't need to be on TV or radio to be an expert. You can be an instant expert by having a blog and developing a voice for yourself and then linking that into all of these social media pieces that you've spoken about. And that didn't exist 5 years ago. At least it didn't exist so that anybody would really latch onto it. And now it's the way to get employers to chase you. That's brand new. Employers are chasing people. They know of the experts before they actually do any research, before resumes come in, and they're reaching out to those experts. So if you're laid off or if you're fired, you need to get busy on branding yourself. And the way that you can do that, obviously, is starting a blog, becoming a leader, or starting a group on LinkedIn, and getting active. But the social media part is fantastic. When you link all these things together and develop your little Google traffic machine for branding with your LinkedIn, your Facebook, tweeting, and your blog. But also, you need to do it offline. There's no better substitute than dancing in front of somebody, than, you know, dazzling them with your expertise and letting them get to know you, developing business friendships offline too. So there's an online component of developing a voice and linking everything in and being very active. And then there's an offline component of getting face-to-face contact with people. And it's not, hey, Byron, do you know of a job for me? I'm a marketing guy. You got something for me? It's no. Hey, Byron, I want to talk to you about this or that. I'm an SEO guy, and I think you can do this or do that. And allowing people to understand your expertise. So it's not give me a job. It's let me show you my expertise, and let's develop a business friendship.
Mm-hmm. So it's stop selling yourself and start listening to the wants and needs of who you're interviewing with. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that job seekers, there's an element that we haven't spoken about yet, which is your mental state in a job search. And if you're deep in a job search, you're not the 100% Adam, you're not the 100% Byron, so you're not able to process information as well as you could if you were employed or feeling great about yourself. I mean, when people are locked in that job search jail where they feel so isolated, they're not able to present themselves as well as they should. So one of the things that they should do is always go back to their wins and think about the job description as a grocery list. When I go in for an interview or I submit a resume, am I addressing everything in this job description as a win, as a benefit that the employer will reap when they hire me? And in an interview, that's what you're doing too. You're translating what you've done in your career as a win that's relevant to the job description, and you're not marketing to the interviewer what you want them to know. You're marketing to the interviewer what they want to know about you. And there's a big difference there.
Here's a tough one. What about top behaviors displayed in the perfect interview? What am I doing if I am in the perfect interview and say I'm an employer, I'm an employee and you're an employer, what am I
right.
the employee, what are my behaviors, what are my characteristics? Not my characteristics, what are my behaviors, my sheer raw behaviors? How am I acting?
Absolutely. Well, if you have to frame it like a date. The best interviews are dates. My dad is a super, super, super successful shrink. And there was a period of time where I think I dated about 100 gals in Los Angeles in the period of 2.5 years. Futile, for sure, but it became some kind of competition. And I said to my dad, this is terrible. Why isn't this work for me? I never get any second dates. He says, well, you have to shut up. You have to stop talking about yourself and listen. Shut up. And I started to do that. And that translated into my career coaching practice. When you actually listen to somebody, they're giving you cues. When you actually find their light, what they're excited about, either about their company or maybe you get into personal stuff, you find out somebody's a runner, you talk about marathons. You find out somebody's an avid reader, you talk about this book. You talk about the CEO of a company because you've done your research, and they get excited. Once you see that light, then you go for it and you start asking them questions. If you can turn it into a date where the person that's interviewing you is talking about themselves, you look fantastic. The dynamic and the energy changes from let me interrogate you to let me get to know you and tell you about me. And that interview ends with you feeling great, with that person feeling great, and that person sees value in you because you listen to them. So when it's a date and you start getting comfortable and you get them to talk about themselves, the interviewer, magic happens.
I'm going to introduce the power of my fabulous Stoic professor of philosophy father, since you mentioned yours, and he introduced me to something, and I want to get your take on it because I've seen it at work, I've seen it practiced. It became part of some selling techniques that I rolled out to 16 markets in 4 or 5 countries. But it was a simple concept, and it was one that I now call sort of Socratic techniques, and really the question is the answer, right? So mm-hmm. when you're on a date or when you're in an interview, my general sense is that people are valuing you on something happening behind the scenes, on your curious nature, on you listening to what they're certainly saying, on your being inquisitive, and there is this art that I think is out there of hearing what somebody's saying, listening closely to what they're saying, and thinking in your mind what the next question is you're going to ask them. And what's
right.
remarkable, do you hear what I'm saying, and do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Are you single, Byron?
I'm not. Divorced.
Do you remember
once,
being single?
Remarried, as happy as I can, practicing Socratic techniques all day, every day.
Good. Okay. I don't know if you can recall, but I can recall dating. I just told you about my crazy marathon. I was always thinking about the next question. I think when you take I think when you really start to riff with somebody, you get them to get excited about talking to you about something that's their light, something they want to talk to you about, the next questions, you get to anticipate the next questions because you see their excitement and they start telegraphing stuff to you. And that's wonderful. You're absolutely right. Understanding what the next questions are going to be, very, 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 very important. But it doesn't happen. You can't get relaxed in that mode unless they're relaxed, unless they're excited. And that's the magic.
Have you, let's talk about specific careers. Are there things hot right now that are not being looked at closely by people? Are we too focused in our I want a marketing job, you know?
Yeah.
How can we think out of the box? What's hot out there? What are some interesting careers? And by the way,
well, I would
can
say
we just
that,
take it, before
sorry.
You answer that question, can we just take a little break here, station break? We'll be back in just a couple minutes, everybody, with some more tough questions. Hang on, we're back at you in a second.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
Hi, welcome to the SEO Shop. How may I help you?
Oh, hi. I'm looking for something for my website.
Well, I could slip your website into a sleek web campaign.
Okay.
Our professional internet marketing experts can custom tailor your web campaign with our SEO services, and by the time we're finished, your website will have such high organic search rankings that it'll turn the heads off of Google, Yahoo, and Bing.
I would love that.
SEO-shop.com. The experts in professional internet marketing services.
Let us research, plan, execute, and succeed on your web campaign today with SEO-shop.com.
Charles, come on up and tell us about the great ROI we're getting from RevenueWire.
Thank you. Since I signed up with RevenueWire, conversions have increased dramatically. RevenueWire has an integrated shopping cart called SafeCart that offers highly accurate sales tracking, boosting our conversions through the roof. And now that they've added multiple international currencies to SafeCart, we're looking forward to seeing significant increases in our overseas sales of PC utility software from Lavasoft, PC Tools, Pareto Logic, and AvonQuest. With up to 75% commission, real-time sales tracking, free in-depth sales analytics and reporting tools, campaign optimization resources, and now weekly payments for top-performing affiliates, our sales are climbing higher and higher, thanks to RevenueWire.
Find out more at RevenueWire.com.
Health, wealth, lifestyle. WebmasterRadio.fm is the premier B2B on-air and on-demand podcast network that caters to who you are and how you live. Listeners and podcasters to our entertainment channel make a difference in our world, from going green to sharing the secrets for achieving their success. Contact sales at WebmasterRadio.fm for a consultation today.
Ready to learn to be a mass marketing mastermind? Take some notes from the godfathers of mass distribution. Inbox, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Internet Marketing Channel, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back, Adam. We left off with a good question there, and the question was related to hot careers. Are there things out there that you're seeing that we might not be seeing as far as hot new careers?
Well, here's what's fascinating. Yes, there are. In my practice, ultimately what I get people to do is get out there and give free tastes of their expertise. So if they're marketing, they give marketing advice to companies or to business owners. If they're you know, technology people, they're reaching out to people in fundraising and showing them how to build databases and how to use Twitter and stuff like that. Whatever the person does as an expertise, if they're going to counterintuitive groups, not tech groups if they're a tech professional, but other groups, and they're giving free tastes, what ends up happening is they start thinking differently about their career, because they end up getting consulting gigs. This happens every day, all day long, with so many people, it's crazy. This is a wonderful, wonderful time to become a guru, a coach, you know, a consultant, a business owner. People think that there's no money for that. That's not true at all. There is money for it. There's money for it, and it's engaging, and it's fresh because you get to have, you can get a whole bunch of clients, and everything's anew. And that is inspirational to me. A lot of people get burnt out on their jobs, and they're looking for that marketing position again, and they're thinking, oh gosh, you know, I hope they pay enough, you know, I hope it's okay, I hope I get some 2 weeks off. And then they start consulting, they start speaking, and start giving some free tastes, and then converting those free tastes into next steps into business. And a world opens up, and they become delighted, and they have all this energy in their life, either to pursue a full-time job or to get more consulting work going. It's really fantastic. So that's an offshoot that I think is great about today. But specific positions, everything, as you know, is about bio. So the biotechnology field is obviously very hot. But you know what I see? I don't see enough quality assurance professionals in the biotech world. There's an unbelievable need for these people, and it's not a job that's you know, sexy. I know people don't go to school thinking, I want to be a quality assurance manager for a biotech company, but there's loads of jobs, and there's really very few viable candidates out there. And, of course, sales jobs, I realize that's so general, but look, all these companies that saved their dollars in 2009, they're opening up their wallets now. They want market share. They see opportunity. So they're going for it. Sales forces are, there's a lot of sales jobs. People are really beefing up their sales forces.
And how are sales jobs changing, in your opinion? What are employers looking for skill sets in the sales world?
Well, what's really interesting is, and this is a very typical person that I coach, a guy that's in his mid-50s, that made $500,000 a year selling Bugle Boy jeans and taking people out to $300, you know, dinners at Morton's or whatever. That world kind of died. And there's been a big reality check of, okay, I'm a sales guy, I need to develop relationships, but I can't buy them anymore. I can't grease the wheels anymore with you know, big trips and taking everybody out for $500 dinners and stuff like that. So what people look for is the more basic relationship stuff. You know, salespeople are obviously relationship builders. And one of the neat tools that technology has presented is for a salesperson to develop a community. And that really is an added benefit. So if a salesperson has a sales LinkedIn group, or if it's their niche, if they have if they make scientific products and they have, or they work for a scientific products company and they have a scientific products group, and then they have a blog about it and stuff like that, then they're creating membership for people. And that, I think, kind of offset the, you know, big money grease the wheels way that we used to do sales. And really provided value in content and branding. People want to hang out with winners and people that they understand. So the ability to start a blog that resonates, the ability to have a voice as a salesperson, huge right now.
Mm-hmm. Any tips on using your blog and your network and your community to find your next career?
Yes, and I don't know if you've heard of this. I don't know if it's out there. I read everything I can read. I mean, one of the a quick tip for jobs people in a job search is set up Google Alerts for job search strategies, and they can read most of the material that I read. There's a lot that you have to sift through, but if you're looking for new strategies, that's a great way to do it. And this one I haven't seen. My wife, I tried to get to start a blog for about 3 years, and she really, really fought me on it. And last October, she finally did, and she's got a hugely successful fashion blog, and she's really developed herself as a brand in the industry. One of the things that she's done with this blog, which is fascinating, and what I get people to do, is think about what you do, Byron. I mean, you have a radio show, and you're giving people time. This is free PR for them, and everybody likes that. I mean, if they're like me and they like to talk and hear their own voice like I do, then this is obviously a hot ticket. And so what you can do, and what my wife does, is she interviews people that she wants to know in the industry. So if she wants to develop a group of mentors that she can ultimately parlay into jobs, she'll reach out to these people, and she'll say, listen, I want to interview you for my blog. What are they going to say? No? Some of them might, but most of them green light because they want free press too. And my wife has a specific voice, and if that specific voice and her audience, if that resonates with these people that she wants to meet, of course they're going to be interviewed by her. And so a lot of my wife's job offers came from these business relationships, these friendships that she developed through her blog, through the interviews. I mean, that's awesome. This wasn't a thing. This wasn't a thought 5 years ago. Now you can leverage your blog and your voice to get access to almost anybody. How cool is that?
That's a great tip. Any thoughts on thought leadership and trying to either, A, follow the thought leaders in your industry, be knowledgeable about their thoughts and what their vision is for the future, and chime into those conversations, and or beat your own chest and find your own brand and push it and become a thought leader, at least in your own mind, on your own blog and with your own publishing efforts and energy?
Well, this is fantastic, and thank you. The quickest trick for following thought leaders and becoming getting on their radar and getting people to find you because of your knowledge about these great people or these great thinkers or leaders is Twitter. I've never seen a more powerful tool than Twitter in reaching out to people, reaching out to these thought leaders, and getting them to come back to you in a very, very fast way. And the way this I've seen this work is, of course, you have a blog and you can set it up so it automatically, you know, you automatically tweet your blog, and that's great, and you can do that with Facebook and even LinkedIn now. But I think if you really do a lot of research on people that you like and you find them on Twitter, and you know it's open source, so you can basically, you know, reach out to just about anybody by commenting. You can sandwich your comments with pieces of information, news pieces or blog pieces or pieces from other credible sources that you like, in between your own piece. So if you find relevant content that you think that some kind of leader in your industry would really enjoy, you can sandwich that between your own piece. And when you have this kind of a sandwich technique on Twitter, I think that it presents some credibility for you. And what I've found is that the people that I've wanted to meet on Twitter, I will tweet them, and I will put my own blog piece in the middle of two tweets that I really like on topics that I think that they're going to enjoy. And more often than not, they reach out to me, and we develop this business friendship. And, I mean, again, how could you have done that 5 years ago? What an awesome tool. And it frankly works.
Hmm. I'm going to read a statement to you that I was just concocting and see which side of the fence you fall on with career advancement. The question relates to career advancement. So, you know, your career advancement will align with your ability to A, communicate and converse with important people, B, produce really good quality work.
Okay. Well, the quality work part, I'm gonna kick out. I think the old adage was early to bed, early to rise, early to work. Advertise. if you don't show up at work before your boss does, and you don't leave after work, before. Let me try that one more time.
Quick pause, please.
Are you ready,
Byron? Just let
yeah.
you know, our next guest is on the line, standing by.
Sounds good. Thanks, George.
All right, Paul,
go ahead.
Please. Thanks.
Okay. So I believe the old adage is early to bed, early to rise, early to work. Advertise. One of the ways that people really get ahead in work is letting their superiors know what they're doing. Hopefully, I mean, there's an art to it. You don't want to be smarmy about it. You know, you don't want to be a kind of a kiss butt about it, but you really need to advertise your wins at work. And if your work isn't A player quality, that's typically okay, as long as you're advertising your wins. So communication and letting your bosses, if you work for a great company, because I always put the emphasis on company over job title. I mean, I want people to look for great companies first when they're looking for jobs versus job titles. But if you're in a place that you think is fantastic, advertising your wins is certainly important, but working with your boss to develop a succession plan for your career is paramount. If you don't do that, you're cutting your legs off, because nobody or very few people are going to really take care of your career and forecast for you the next steps. And to go to your boss and say, this is where I want to be in 2 years. Please develop me. Help me get there. What do I need to do? Where do I need to be to get there? Once they develop that succession plan for you, to advertise those wins as prescribed by the succession plan, that's the key.
Adam, you really did a great job today. I want to thank you for being on the show. And I want people to be able to get a hold of you, more importantly. You run a great blog called Career Kung Fu, which name alone should inspire anybody to dive right in now and take a look. But how can people get a hold of you? I know you're available for career coaching for a wide variety of people and in different parts of their chapters in life. How can people get a hold of you, and who do you want to get a hold of you?
Well, anybody. I mean, the blog is a free resource for anybody. And my next step, I'm going to develop an ebook for everybody that's going to have all the goodies, all the secrets, all the fun stuff and formulas. But the who do I want to get a hold of me? People that are frustrated, that have been in their, you know, either been in a job search for more than 4 months, and they're using using job boards and trying to use headhunters as their foundation. That's not working. Those are the people that I want to talk to, because they're using the worst practices to find a job. Or people that just want to chat, they can contact me through the blog, adam@careerkungfu.com. They can directly email me or find me on Twitter. If they type in Career Kung Fu or Adam Ryder, they'll find me there.
Well, we really covered some great topics today, and I really appreciate you being on the show. Thanks for being a guest.
Thanks, Byron. A real pleasure.
Right on. Until next week, everybody, I hope your life is now a little smarter, better, and faster, and wiser in a way that enables you to advance your career at a rapid pace. Thanks again for being on the show, Adam, and we will see you next week, everybody.